Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Now, this can be a really tricky one. How to manage money as a couple, from shared bank accounts to who pays the ESB bill. What is the best way to share the financial burden in a relationship? Owen McGee is here, personal finance expert. Hello, Owen.
Good morning. Thanks for having me in.
Is this one of the thornier ones that you deal with?
Oh, absolutely. Like, and I'm always the one who's dragged right into the middle of it. And what you find out very quickly is two very different opinions. And I'm supposed to be judge, jury and executioner. I'm supposed to come in and get this whole thing sorted out and fixed for them. And it is something that's divisive. Because if you think about the situation, if you think about if you're just a single person on your own, getting through life, finances is one of the biggest stressors we have. Whenever the research comes up, it's a big life change, a relationship breakdown, or money are always the top three things that stress us out and that causes anxiety. So if you think about dealing it all by yourself, it's really hard as a single, right? But then you bring it together as a couple and you've all your complications with money and all their complications with money, and you're trying to come up with what the joint thing is together and how do we do this and how do we manage this.
And do you find that, you know, opposites attract when it comes to a relationship and that financial styles tend to come together in a couple? So you have somebody saying, oh, live for today, it all might be over tomorrow, and then the other person wants to squirrel the money away.
Yeah, you often get that where, and it actually it goes a bit deeper than that, but you do often have a couple where one of them is like, oh, like, we really have to look after the future, we have to make sure that we have money for bread and milk when we're 82 years of age, and they're really worried. And then the other person's like, I love the phrase, borrow, 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 we could be dead tomorrow, right? And that you just keep borrowing money and spending it today.
I'd say that makes you itchy when you hear that.
It does. I'm actually scratching my hand here right now. When you said it, I was scratching my hand. It does make me itchy, but borrow, borrow, borrow. But the thing about it is, like, and actually to make a quick jump here, that's what a good financial plan is about. A good financial plan is about looking after the long term so you can enjoy today, right? And that's probably one of the draws in. But you've often have a couple that will come into you, and you very quickly, I mean, you'd see it a lot. If you look carefully at the old episodes of How to Be Good with Money, you'll recognise it yourself if you're looking back with hindsight, where I had them come in, they're sitting there, and I would always kind of be wondering and often ask the question, why did you come on the show? And you'd very quickly realise, one of them is looking for my help to get the other one on board with sorting out the finances, where one of them's carrying all of the burden. And that's incredibly unfair, right? You can't say, and you can put the sexes on this whichever way you want, right? But you can't say, I put out the bins so you look after the finances type of a thing, right? You can't, this is not a job that has to be, that can be left to one person. There might be parts of the finances that get left to one person, but the overall responsibility can't just hang on one person and they have to look after it, because that's incredibly unfair.
Like, are you talking about all of the responsibility in terms of paying, actually paying, or are you talking about the admin as well? The admin has to be shared.
There's lots of jobs. There's like, have we got the best electricity provider? Are we putting the right money into our pensions? Is our investment set up properly? Can we afford to go on holidays this year? There's loads of jobs, but collectively, you can take individual jobs as being yours, but collectively you have to take responsibility together for it, because it creates resentment, it creates problems when one person has all of that. Because think about it, if it's one of the three biggest stressors we have in our life and you're expecting your partner to be the one who handles all of that and you just won't talk about money and you just stick your head in the sand and you just ask for money when you need it, that doesn't work either.
Some people might like those jobs though, Owen.
They might love them. They might really enjoy them. And if everything is going well, it mightn't cause them a whole pile of stress. But there still needs to be some joint responsibility, because actually when you think about the type of person who will love that job of looking after the money and minding the money, they're still going to be annoyed when they see the other person going spending money frivolously without planning or without thinking about the implications in the rest of the household finances. So you still have to have communication and open talking about it.
So when we talk about how it should work then, I mean, are you in favour of a joint account where all the bills come from, or how should it be set up? The very basics.
The very basics. From a joint account or separate accounts. There's research out there that does suggest couples who have a joint account fare better financially, right? And there's a lot of transparency, sometimes too much transparency, okay? What I would say is I have come across couples who, if they didn't have a joint account, they would definitely split up, right? And I've come across the opposite, where if they did have a joint account, they could see what each other were doing, they would definitely split up, right? I do think that there is an optimum here where you kind of have a joint account in the middle for the set expenses, mm-hmm. like the mortgage or the rent or whatever else it is. And they're the set. And people contribute into that. And then you've got your own account on the side, right? I think that that makes a lot of sense for a couple who have come together in life and come together in financially. But there's no one size fits all here. It's what works for you. What I do think is really important to get your head around, though, is whether you do it all in the joint account together, or you have your own individual accounts, a joint account in the middle, or just two separate accounts, everyone needs to have their own money that can be spent without judgment, without question. That's your money. Everything else is looked after. You can spend that on whatever you want.
So your own current spending fund, that is yours. What about your own savings?
Your own savings.
The running away money.
Yeah, that's the you're showing your age there, Claire. Yeah. So it's now called, I'll give you the polite version of it, it's now called an F-off fund.
Oh, right. There you go.
That's what
same
it's
thing.
Called. Yeah. It's the same thing. But actually, and then it's kind of developed. It used to be running away money from running away from your partner. Now it's also running away from your boss. Like you're in a job you really hate. You need to have money back up there that if the stress is just too much, you just have to get out of there. Did you have enough back up there to cover yourself? Savings of your own is really important, but I think it's the day-to-day spend, because where we see horrible relationships where there's control and other things going on, that's often the first thing that disappears, is that no, you can't spend money on that, or I saw you spend money on this and what are you doing with money on that. And I think we need to bring it to another level. If a family make a decision for whatever reason, maybe it's kids or other reasons, that one person is giving up work, it's really important the person at home has their own money too, that they're given a wage to recognise what it is, the contribution, or just because they deserve it or they should have it, that they have their own money that's never questioned. But yes, savings can be joint because often it's a joint goal. And then joint account, possibly you put it together for the daily bills, but having your separate money is really important.
Okay, so we have separate money then, and the rest of the money then is coming together to deal with things like the bills. That's the day-to-day spending. But then you'll have the bigger spending, so spending on things like pensions,
yes.
on holidays, on savings. These are all things that you have to plan for, and ideally you should be doing those together, right?
Yes, you should be doing together. I saw an extreme version of this online, right? And of course, I get maybe the algorithm throws these things at me, but I saw a couple and they literally had a whiteboard under their arm and they were going on what they call their away day, right? So at the start of every year, they go on away day. They've both done their jobs in advance. They've checked what's in their pensions. They were American, of course, right? Checked what's in their pensions and their investments and everything else. And then they come together on their away day and they put up the whiteboard and they look at their balance sheet and they figure it all out. They spend the whole day. But then, and I think this is the best thing about what they do, they plan the next year. Mm-hmm. What do you want to do this year? What do I want to do this year? Right, we can't do all of those things. Let's decide together what's important to us both and what kind of ticks a box for both of us. So it's all planned out, and it's not.
That's like, a financial planner's dream. Oh, a couple
like
that.
Amazing, yeah, it's absolutely amazing.
They've done the job for
you,
right?
They've planned it all out and they've looked at it, but also there's compromise in there and with acceptance that we're not going to get everything done. So what are the things that are most important? And I do think that's really interesting when you look at it, like what you value and what's important to you may not necessarily be the same thing that's important to your partner and what they value. And it's about recognising the two things between the two and saying, okay, is there a middle ground here, or is there just, I'm going to respect what it is. And provided you're not doing irreparable damages to finances with what you want to do, well, then let's try and support what you're doing and let's try and support what I'm doing. Let's see what the common ground is here for the things we want to do together.
Yeah. I can see how that would arise just even in the current spending. You know, you're keeping your current spending your own. And if somebody decides, well, I need an awful lot of current spending for all of my little treats, and the other person says, well, I don't buy very much. I don't need very much. Can resentment build?
It absolutely can, particularly if the person, like one person might just love a walk in the park on a Sunday and that's what they value most. And the other person, to give a really simple example, loves to spend an hour on a Sunday drinking a coffee. The coffee costs money, the walk doesn't. And I'm trying to keep it really universal here. But when you put that on a bigger scale, it can start to create resentment where the overall communication isn't working. Mm-hmm. These things don't build in resentment if the communication is working properly. And I do think it's interesting what you said there, like they spend a lot or they don't spend that much. There is a question that I get asked often, who spends more money, men or women? I mean, I only have the male-female research. I don't know, like it's just the generic male-female research says, interestingly, men and women spend the same amount, right? In general, and we'll use that word very strongly, in general, men spend little and often, women spend little and often, and men spend on bigger ticket items.
Right.
And over time, you will actually spend the same. And you know, like, you know yourself, like, I'm sitting at home, my partner walks in and she has something new. And oh, is that new? No, I bought that ages ago. Just has never been worn before, but it was bought ages ago, so it's not
but
new
it still
anymore,
works
right?
To give that answer,
whereas
so
it's harder for me to walk in with a new golf club and not get it realised very quickly. So there is that kind of little and often versus thing.
It's five-man tent. I've had it for years.
It served me well. I've had it for 10 years and I've never used it once, but I've still had it for 10 years.
So listen, what else should we be doing then in terms of getting this thing sorted? Because it sounds to me as though, from your point of view, having the conversation really is the key and everything flows from that, and reaching some sort of baseline agreement on what you should be doing.
Like, sorry, money is no different than the rest of the parts of your relationship. Let's face it, right? And the reality is it does come back to communication. It does come back to sitting back and saying, how does this work? There's lots of conversations to be had. Like, let's say the total combined household income is 100,000 and one person's on 40 and the other person's on 60. You need to decide, is it 50-50 into this joint account that pays it all, or is it 60-40, or what way is it going to be split? And these are conversations that you need to have early on, ideally, right? Mm-hmm. Because you don't want the resentment to build up and then it's a kind of a loaded, heated discussion about it. You want to try and do it early on. I'm not talking about first date stuff, but I'm talking about as you get into a relationship and as you're getting more established, you do need to start to have these conversations. I've a lovely trick, actually, that I suggest people use all the time. When you're starting to get established in a relationship, or even do it now, it doesn't matter how established you are. If you think you know your partner and what they think about money and what their attitudes are to finances, there's two ways you can get it out of without them realizing it, right? We tend to be exactly the same or exactly the opposite to our parents when it comes to money. So ask them to describe their parents, because you're getting a double hit here. If they describe their parents, what were your parents like with money? And they start to talk to you about what their parents were like with money. You'll very quickly start to recognize, oh, he or she is exactly the opposite to that, or they're exactly the same as that. And it's usually one parent has more influence than the other parent has on us. So you can get a lot from really looking at that. But the second thing is, we are a country that doesn't talk about money, right? So if I ask you, Claire, to tell me all about your money, you're going to close up and you're not going to tell me anything. But if I ask you to tell me, who's your best mate and what's your perception of what they're like with money, you'll be much more open about your own personal opinions reflected onto that person, and we'll hear more about your own opinions if we really listen carefully. So when you get them to talk about their parents, they're talking about someone else, they're not talking about their own money, their guard is down a little bit, and you can very quickly. Now, don't do this on the first date.
Listen, a listener has texted in to say that you probably have a second career coming in relationship counselling and psychology, as I've discovered, from what you've just said there. Now, another listener, and I know the answer to this, but they've asked, do you believe if you can't afford it, don't do it?
100%.
Yeah, you see?
And if you can't afford it, you don't do it. Like, full stop. Like, people are sitting here today, right? It's 5 months till July. And let's imagine every July you go on holidays, right? And I'm going to just round the numbers. Imagine, last year my holiday cost me about 1,000 euros, and I'm making the number up, right? You have 5 months to save 200 euros a month. If you can't save 200 euros a month from now till July, you can't afford to go on holidays, right? If you can't afford to do it today, you can't do it. We'll probably come back and talk about it another time, but that's my big fear with this buy now, pay later stuff, where you can walk in, you can spread the cost interest-free over 3 payments.
See a lot of that online now.
Huge.
Well,
yeah. You can buy a takeaway. Like, I mean, like a Chinese on delivery, and you spread the payment over 3 payments, provided the delivery was more than 35 euros. Like, if you can't afford it today, you cannot afford it. And I do think, now, and just to be careful, because that person could, and this is exactly what I get online all the time when people ask me questions, that could be a loaded question, because their partner's just said, I want this, and me saying, I can't afford it, so you can't have it, right? If the person really wants it and you can't afford it today, doesn't mean you can never have it, but the two of you need to talk about, how do we get you to be able to have that thing, and is it fair in the rest of the family? Interestingly, actually, women are much better at managing the overall finances of the family, again, general, right? And the reason it's believed to be is women see the family finances as somebody else's money, and they'll look after it much better than they would look after it their own. Mm-hmm. And that actually follows true when it comes to other things as well, when it comes to money. So women have a much better ability to manage the day-to-day finances, but they're also long-term investors. They're much better long-term investors as well.
Okay, and we know that that's a generalisation, and there's probably men listening going, I'm the person who looks after it all in the house. But the main thing is, out of all of this, is to talk about it and discuss it and come up with a plan. Owen, thanks so much.
Thanks, Claire.
Great. Good to see you. That's Owen McGee. Coming up next, we're going to be talking about speed limits on rural roads. They are coming down tomorrow, and we're going to talk to the senior Garda who's in charge of the plan.
Get in touch on WhatsApp 0870 32 32 32.